Hi, this is LP, and you're listening to Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. Look at those little tiny notes.
Yeah. Sure. You know why I do that? Is so no one can read them.
The person that you're interviewing? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Crafty.
Thanks again for joining us here today. This is Michael with Sound Sessions here on WGN. We're speaking with the artist LP, who's here playing a sold-out show at Chicago's Metro.
Yeah.
So how does that feel? Because I'm sure that there were times when you were playing small venues. How has your perspective...
No.
No, just straight to the
top. I don't
know
what you're talking about.
So how has your perspective changed when you're playing these big venues and selling them out now?
It's really cool, you know? I mean, I have like... My career as of now, like, you know, in the last years, a couple of years, has been so varied, mm-hmm. like, you know, here in Europe and everything. So I'm kind of like going in and out of like different sized situations all the time. Mm-hmm. But it feels amazing. It's like really nice to, I think, you know, the whole journey thing that, like, when people say it's the journey, and like, I used to hate that. I used to want to like just like strangle someone when I heard that. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, yeah. It's, I think, in life, as well as business perspective, is pretty much everything.
You right. Know? Yeah. I feel
it's invaluable, in my opinion.
Learning these life lessons, right? Mm. And learning how to kind of just deal with the trials and tribulations, and knowing that you have to put as much work in. It's kind of like what Paul McCartney says, you only give what you get.
There you go.
Or you get what
you
get.
Yeah, and it's nice to watch people, you know, it grow over time and just like... the way different songs connect to people. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your songwriting process. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, going through the album Lost on You, that I was really enjoying, is hearing how, you know, you kind of do a little tongue-in-cheek every once in a while. It's a really cool sound. I've heard that you've been compared to Johnny Cash and all these great
Sweet.
Things. When you're writing these songs, what comes first for you, though? Is it that melody that you're playing on your guitar, or is there certain words or songs?
It depends. You know, I sit around and, like, you know, like, mess around with chords all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like... like inspirations all the time. I'm always like recording and collecting, you know, snippets of things and mm-hmm. titles and concepts and, you know, and then sometimes I just roll into the studio and we just start from scratch, you know. But I usually like to have a little bank of like different bits and bobs, as I say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's like it kind of gets very visceral for me when the melody comes into play and that's where like and. My favorite way to write a song is usually when I have like a title or a concept, and then I start, you know, creating the music with someone. Usually, I like to collaborate mostly. I'm kind of like one of those if a tree falls in the forest, kind of like if I don't see someone like reacting, yes,
yeah,
I'm like, eh, might not be good. So I enjoy like the collaboration process mm-hmm. like that. But so we usually start like that, and then I start to get like. There's like an emotional kind of like, a lot of times like the first or second pass of like a vocal melody will be like the one, you know. It's just like my initial thing that comes out seems to be the one that like is my heart talking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's deep.
It's wild.
That's so deep. Nice. How about this? When you're going through this tour, what's your daily routine look like? Have you changed it up at all?
What? Yes and no. I mean, you know, I'm a little luckier now because I always have like a day room or like, you know, even like the bus or, you know, the dressing room where I can, I usually steam my voice. I do some yoga. I do mm-hmm. my warm-ups, you know.
Cool.
Yoga helps me a lot to just get my whole like physicality ready, you know.
Yeah. How long have you been practicing yoga for?
Like 11 years.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. It's like it's probably why I'm standing here right now, because it just really helped me in so many ways, you know. And it's kind of like the microwave of exercise. It like kind of strengthens you from the inside out. And as a singer, I mean, you know, your body is your instrument, so it's kind of for me pretty vital thing.
That's great. So you mentioned you steam your voice. What does that mean?
I use a like a Vicks personal steamer.
Okay.
It's like it just looks like this thing that goes over, and it's like when you're traveling and it's when it's cold. Like when I fly a lot, like I'll do like fly dates every day for like 10 days in a row, like I'm going to do when I go to Russia next part of the tour.
Yeah.
Like flying a lot really dries you out. So the steam, right, steam like 15 minutes before my show and after my show, and it keeps me like agile.
Yeah.
And it's still hard.
You probably need that power to whistle that much too. I mean,
the whistling, you know, like yesterday on stage, I think I did well yesterday in Kansas City or whatever, but I felt so dry. I was like, I'm drinking water the whole time, and like sometimes my whistle, I'm just like, oops, shit.
I could imagine that'd be hard. I barely know how to whistle, so I think that's a really cool power and a good thing to add to songs too. Speaking of songs, I wanted to know, I don't want to ask what your influences are, because you've told us a few times, but what were those first albums that your mom or dad put on that really connected you with music and thought, you know, this is something special in my life?
Yeah. Well, my dad, it's funny you should say, was like a Johnny Cash fan, for sure. My mom was more of a like a Luciano Pavarotti and Maria Callas and Julie Andrews and, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I had a brother that was like, you know, a Zeppelin, you know, kind of like fan and you know, and Beatles. And then like, I don't know, me and my friends, like kind of were just classic rock heads, you know, like we just were like all the old stuff, you know, that really kind of just spoke to me. And you know, and then Jeff Buckley and Nirvana and stuff like that was also, you know.
I heard from an interview that you were into Roy Orbison as well.
That I always forget. Like that's the thing. Like when you do like a bunch of interviews, you're like, I didn't mention that person. And then I always forget to mention Freddie Mercury. I'm like, come on.
You got to mention Freddie.
Yeah. But Roy Orbison's a huge thing. I mean, Roy Orbison for me was is a very big one, because he's like, he made me feel like, you know, and I'm not fishing for compliments.
Oh, no.
Like, it made me feel like you could be like funky looking and be like, you know, hey, it's okay. It's the emotion. But yeah, he like had this like, you know, he was clearly, that guy clearly didn't look in the mirror and go like, I should be seen. People should see me, I'm beautiful, you know? And he just was like, but he was legit and like authentic and just so, you know, he could make you cry, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's like a big thing for me, like eliciting emotion in a song. Cause I think there's nothing that really affects me more than when I'm like sad or even happy, and when someone just stirs my emotional state.
I love that, because I'm a huge Roy Orbison fan too, and
right,
you're right, he can make you cry, and
yeah,
it's
like
so
his drama is ridiculous, you know, like you know, like Running Scared.
Running
Scared, like that song, it's not even like there's no chorus to that song, it just keeps going, you know. It's just this ongoing thing. It's like, I hope she doesn't leave me, I hope it's okay, here he comes, he might take her away. Fuck. It's like, I got it.
Oh yeah.
You know? I mean, who does that? Nobody does that.
He's one in a million. I mean, he's really, and very theatrical. And I love that about your music too, because your music is also theatrical. I can feel it. I can feel that passion when you sing.
Thanks.
You know, you write a lot of songs for other artists, and you mentioned that it's a way that you can kind of dive into their mind. You need to look into what they're feeling at the moment. But if someone was to write a song for you, what kind of events or things in your life or people in your life or feelings would you want them to hit on?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
Now I know why you wrote your question so small, because I would have liked to have seen that coming. That's a good one. I don't know. You know, like it's funny. I learned a lot from being on the other side of it too, because when I... You know, my first major label deal, that's how I got into being a songwriter, because I was put in a room with all these like big songwriters, and you're just like, and they like look at you and go like, who are you? And then try to write songs for you, you know. And so I don't know, I think I would want them to just kind of write something authentic, you know, and something that was powerful and something with like, you know, a humanitarian of sorts message, you know, that just like spoke to like the human condition, and like I like in my songs to like kind of, they're on like, I like to commiserate with people about something I've been through, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it comes back to that feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going through.
Yeah.
What's it like having your songs? Because a lot of what I heard from your music was coming from, I think I heard you in a Citibank commercial one time, on a few TV shows as well.
Yeah.
What's it like to have your song on something, part of pop culture, and then maybe being taken out of context like that?
I think it's cool, because I think it's like, I think it's very telling, and it shows you also, like, even in an audience full of people, Dave Grohl has this like saying or something that I'm going to completely butcher, but the idea of it is that, like, you know, to sing a song for them, to sing a song to 50,000 people or something like that, and have them sing back, like, that many different meanings of the song, because everyone's taking it their way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had my cousin hit me about this new song that I'm doing tonight called Recovery that's on my next record, and, mm-hmm. and her son just recently passed away, you know, and the song's about, like, breaking up with your lover, which, like, she hit me this morning, and I don't know how she heard it, because it's not out yet, but it's, like, probably she saw it on Instagram or something, but mm-hmm. but she was like, I can't believe that song, and I was listening to it, and or singing it today at soundcheck, and I was thinking, wow, like, it's hitting her in another direction, I think, because of what she's, like, recovering from, you know, and that's the beauty of it, you know?
That's...
I guess I feel very blessed, and I feel also, like, you know, as things build, and, you know, when I'm, like, playing these bigger and bigger shows, I just feel like a responsibility to that, to try to connect to someone and help them, like, kind of, I guess I would hope to help them heal from something, mm-hmm. but whatever, you know, it's not that deep.
Wow. That's a beautiful thing to say, because people do find their own realizations from the words that you speak.
Yeah.
When you're writing, what's the best place to write at? Do you write in the tour bus? Is there a certain room in your
this
house?
This is wherever, you know. Like, one of the cool things about being, like, a hired gun songwriter,
yeah.
is that I learned how to, like, kind of, it's like the cry on command kind of thing, you know. Like, it's like you just learn to, like, go in a room. It's like, it's not particularly inspiring. Like, it wasn't actually, I didn't know if the song was for me. I'll tell you, like, a random story, but a song that I have, Tightrope, on my last record, I wrote that in this, the most boring, like, four walls. I mean, it was, like, literally, like, in the space we are right now.
Yeah.
And it was, like, me and a guy with a computer, a guy from Germany, and we just were, like, I couldn't wait to get out of that room. Like, mm-hmm. I had the concept of Tightrope, and, you know, we wrote it, and I laid it down, and I remember getting it back. And I was like, oh, this is actually something. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, this is something for me. I thought I was like, I wasn't sure if I was writing for me or for someone else. I wasn't positive.
Yeah.
But I remember that session being just, like, brutal for me. I was, like, not in the mood to write and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when I got it back again, I just was like, oh, shit, you know?
Wow.
But, like, the room was, like, absolutely uninspiring. And the time, I wasn't in the mood. It was, like, beautiful out, like it always is in California, which is hard. And I was just like, oh, I got to get out of here. I want to drink a beer. Fuck this place. And you know, and a song came out of it. You just don't know.
It's where inspiration strikes, I guess. I know we don't have you for too long, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. You're playing here in Chicago at Chicago's Metro. It's a historic spot, especially for us here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Do you have any ties to Chicago, the Midwest?
I don't, except that I've come here on tour a bunch, and I just, like, there's something about it, like, it's got, like, this, it's, like, kind of, like, an alternate universe New York City to me.
Yeah.
You know? And the cleaner, like, happier version. I don't know, not really. But
no,
like,
I'll take it, we'll take it.
I like that it's got, like, this, like, super, like, not seedy past, but, you know, like, very,
yeah.
like, it's, like, a dark, like, you know, I think about, like, I think about what's his name, Al Capone, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know, and you just, like, you know, and the nightlife and the it's like a foodie town and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I don't know, there's something really cool about it. I've done Lollapalooza here, and that's really fun. And
yep,
it's just like it's everything. It's like a very continental kind of, like, you know, cosmopolitan. I meant to say city, where it's just like, you know, it's kind of like waiting its turn to, like, take over, you know,
yes.
at all times, you know.
It's like just waiting in the background.
It's like if New York City, its older brother dies, it's like, na, 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 we were always the best.
Hey, mama,
yeah, exactly.
I'm here now.
Yeah.
The favorite son.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's
I'm the king
awesome.
Now. Yeah. The king died, I'm the king.
You know, you mentioned a lot of great things, and a lot of books came to mind, especially with inspiration. Are you reading anything now?
I am. I'm reading the band story by Robbie Robertson
cool.
right now. His bio
about the band, the band.
About the band, the band.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm reading, like, Last Exit to Brooklyn, which is very depressing. And I have them all on a Kindle, so I just kind of do that.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, so we have some listener questions. Real quick, this is from our Twitter at SoundSeshPod. It's from LP Blogspot. Huge fans of yours.
Oh yeah, I know.
They wanted to wish Anna.
Hi Anna. What's up, Bobo?
Wanted to wish you the best.
Yeah.
When was Recovery written and recorded? Because they think it's incredible.
Ah, that was actually—it's an older song. It's a song I've had for like 5 years. it was a song I wrote really as a songwriter with Leona Lewis in mind. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it about my breakup at the time, the one before the one, before the Lost on You one. And I kind of was writing it from her perspective because I was like kind of, you know, I knew that I, when I broke up with her, I was like, I need to leave her alone and let her heal a bit, you know, even though I wanted to reach out to her. And so I wrote it from her perspective, and I wrote it from, I wrote it because I had read somewhere that Leona Lewis just broke up with someone, and then I worked later with Leona Lewis, and we wrote a song together called Fingerprint that she put out. But I remember saying to her, I wrote this song. I don't think you guys chose it, but I figured, you know, you just went through a breakup and it's really terrible. And she's like, no, actually it was fine. You know, we're friends at school. I was like, right. Okay. You know, then I just
breakups
like, yeah, and I wasn't really doing the artist thing quite yet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I would like kind of put it aside for a minute, you know. And I think I remember the A&R guy that I actually work with him now at RCA a bit, and he was pitching songs for me as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. But he was like, every time I play that song with someone, like a big person or whatever, they're always like, why doesn't she just do it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then I was like, I don't know, I've always been really attached to it, and I think it's just been waiting for me to like get to the point. I think after kind of setting my thing up with like Lost on You, the record, and like I think it just fits me so much, it always has, but I think the setup for me now to put it out as an artist is really, really good. And I just like it's definitely one of those listen to in the dark kind of songs, you know.
Wow, timing is everything.
I mean, you don't gotta tell me that there. I get it.
All right, last question. Thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. There's a lot of people who are sitting in their parents' basements or their garages who...
What are you doing out there? Keep your hand down your pants. Stop it. Cut it out. You're gonna get hairy palms. Don't do it.
I was gonna
I know this is on NBC.
They're either doing that or they're playing their guitar or drum.
What are you playing with down there? Cut it out.
It doesn't sound like a guitar down there.
Get off the dog. Anyway.
So what kind of advice can you give those musicians who are trying to, you know, make it in the industry or at least just get out there and play an open mic for the first time? What would you? What kind of advice can you give them?
I mean, first of all, they just have to, you just have to do it. You have to like, and when I say do it, I mean write songs. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like for me, everybody's different, you know, like that's the thing. Like I'm always hesitant to like give someone advice really because we're all so different and everybody's career happens so differently. But I do feel like there's never any harm for anybody to just continuously write songs because like recovery, like we're just talking about, like I was already like 50 songs past Lost on You when Lost on You started to move in Europe, you know. So and I was dropped from my label for that song. I played that song for Warner Brothers and they were like, that's great. Later. So, you know, and then it went on to do all these things for me. Yeah, and Muddy Waters, too. Like, that got synced all these times. And so I just think, like, continuously writing songs and not putting a lot of pressure on them. Like, I think one of the things you do when you're an earlier songwriter is, like, you write a song and you know it's good or you think it's good and you're like, this is the one. Mm-hmm. No, this is the one. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of, like, your brain and your, like, kind of, like, drive goes a little bit, like, you know, you're in the hot tub already, you know. And then, but if you don't do that, if you continuously write songs, I think that it takes the pressure off any song making it for you, and you're already on to the next thing. And I think that songs are builders as well. Like, I can tell you some songs that built up to other songs for me. And I also think that it became a way of truly finding myself as an artist, like what was right for me and where like my tendencies to go were, and even like just trying to do something off the beaten path for a change, you know. And I just think that, you know, trying to be as prolific as possible is my advice to any songwriter, any singer, because it always comes down to songs. There's no whether you write it or someone else writes it, it's like it's those songs that get you somewhere. And I think if you have a hit, everybody wants you to have another hit. If you don't have a hit, everybody wishes you would have a hit. So the only way to do that is to keep writing songs, and that's my advice.
That's great advice. Yay. You gotta keep on trucking.
There you go.
Thank you again for joining us here on Sound Sessions. You can see her tonight at Metro Chicago LP. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter at SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram at SoundSessionsWGN.